With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be looking back at all last weekend's results with James Hayes. We'll also be hearing from the management at Barwell and Nantwich Town. We'll be discussing ground moves with the chairman at Romulus, Eurosport TV coverage with the chairman at Scarborough. We'll be discussing South Shields against Hyde United with 26-0's Ian Burke. We'll be talking award nominations with Whitby Town Radio, and we'll have a full fixture preview for this weekend's matches with that there Swampy. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick NPL show. Welcome. So, hello everybody and welcome to this week's show. Loads of interviews coming up in this week's EvoStick NPL show. We're going to be discussing Romulus's news that they'll be moving grounds for next season, as we'll be joined by Richard Evans, chairman and manager at Romulus. We've also got Trevor Bull coming on, chairman at Scarborough, to talk about their Eurosport coverage next week. There's a big game as well in Division 1 North, not just involving Scarborough v Prescott Cables, but also South Shields against Hyde United. And we've got Ian Burke, Berkey, coming on from 26-0. And speaking of marvellous radio stations, we've also got Paul Connolly coming on later to talk about Whitby Town's award-nominated coverage that they bring to their great football club. We should also mention, speaking of great football clubs, we've also got Jimmy Ginelli coming on from Barwell and Dave Cook from Nantwich Town. Plus, as well, a fixture preview with the non-league show's very own Swampy. But before that, and over there, somewhere else in the distance now, I could just see him just over the brow on that hill there. Is that James Hayes? It is James Hayes. Hello, James. How are you?
How are you doing, Ben? Nice to have me on.
No problem at all. So we've got, obviously later on, we're going to be having a fixture preview and all that kind of thing. But we've got James on to talk about the results from this past week or so in the Premier Division. And, well, it was all the threes on Saturday, pretty much. Barwell let us down. But it was goal margins of three on Saturday afternoon. We'll cover the results from Saturday and talk about Tuesday's results as well. Fars Celtic beat Buxton 3-0. Nantwich Town beat Lancaster City 3-0. There was a 3-3 draw between Rush Olympic and Whitby Town. And Shaw Lane beat Hales Owen Town, unlucky Hales Owen, by 3-2. And there was a shock result as well on Saturday, away from home for Barwell. Barwell beat Workington by 2-0. And we'll be catching up with Jimmy Ginelli shortly. But that's... That's a hell of a weekend of results there in the Premier Division for those matches which survived the weather, James.
It is indeed, and again, with one or two of them at the same time, it shakes up the playoff table and maybe put pressure on the likes of Shaw Lane and Grantham just ready for that next stretch.
In top spot at the moment is Altrincham. Altrincham have got that big game this weekend against Warrington. It's a big one. And the big movers, though, from Tuesday was Ashton United, I think. Ashton United heading into fourth position and into the playoffs with a fine 1-0 win over Stourbridge. Not bad at all there for Jody Banham's side, James.
No, that was the result. But that Ashton just again cement themselves in the playoffs a little bit. But my worry now is more on the opposite end of Stourbridge. They needed to win that game to keep that bit of a race. There's an 8-point gap there, but the games are starting to go against them a little bit now.
And what was the mood like at Hurst Cross? Because it does feel like the good times are back again after last season's, you know, steadying the ship. It does feel like Ashton United are back as the playoff contenders once again.
Yeah, there was a good atmosphere amongst the crowd there, definitely. A bit more of a buzz about going to see Ashton United play rather than just going to see the football. So they are getting that fan base back. They've got a competitive team once again after a couple of years mid-table.
So Ashton United, they're into fourth position now. 10 points behind league leaders Altrincham, and Ashton United still have a game in hand as well. I talk about Ashton United being the big movers into the playoffs. Shaw Lane were already in the playoffs. And, well, it's 6 points from six over the past couple of games. Shaw Lane, 3-2 winners over Hales Owen, and a fine 2-1 win away at Marine on Tuesday night. See Shaw Lane up to second position in the league. 7 points behind league leaders Altrincham. They have two games in hand, Shaw Lane, and as we heard from Paul Quinn last week, and we've been talking on this show now for the past 4 months, Shaw Lane do have those two games against Altrincham coming up. So, James, we might have a title race.
Might have a title race, but again, it's still in the court of Shaw Lane have got to win at least one of them. Now they can't afford any more slip-ups, otherwise that gap's just going to keep widening and widening, making it a lot harder just to keep that pressure on Altrincham at this moment in time. Two great wins at the same time. Apparently, they were having a bit of a scare against Marine as well. They went 1-0 down after the first couple of minutes. I mean, Altrincham have got a couple of tough games coming up, so
pressure's still there. We talk about Altrincham against Warrington this weekend. It's no accident I mentioned Ashton United to begin with. This weekend, Shaw Lane taking on Ashton United. Boom. Absolute boom, exactly. boom. Grantham Town there in third position, dropped down a bit. The games in hand are starting to bite now, it feels, at Grantham. Grantham drawing 1-1 against Barwell. It's been a good week for Barwell. That's 4 points from a possible six for them. They've moved themselves tantalisingly into 11th position, 7 points from the playoffs. So it's now probably a good time to welcome back to the show Jimmy Ginnelly. So a happy new year to you, Jimmy, and welcome back to the show. You're on a cracking run of form at the moment, four games unbeaten, the latest being a cracking draw against Grantham. You must be pleased with the recent run of form at Barwell.
Yeah, happy new year to you, Ben, and the guys up there. We're having a good time at the minute, mate. It's took 6 months for us to settle. We've had a lot of injuries. I've been listening to the show every week, and I do believe that everybody's had that nasty bug that's been around. And on Thursday night and Friday day, you've probably got a 16, 18-man squad come Saturday morning. It seems to last for about 3 months, and we just couldn't shake it off. We were cancelling training. We're not having the people in that had got the bug to stay away from the ground. So it's been really, really messy for a while, but seems to have settled down now.
Now, I've not worked this out, but it does feel like about this stage of the season, I always get you on because Barwell suddenly start appearing towards the playoff places, and I start going, I think Barwell are going to do this year. I think they're going to do this. It's 7 points the gap at the moment, and you have started this great run. You've got in a player like Craig Reid in the last week or so as well from Coventry United. Where do you see Barwell in the shake-up in the second half of the season?
Well, I'm hoping, Ben, it's like you say, the norm in it every year that we I think we always play catch-up a little bit at the start of the season because, you know, I know people think I harp on about this, but the budget restraint of what we've got and what other clubs have got, we lose out to a good player on a regular basis. Every time I sign or try to sign a good player, somebody else nicks him off me, and I can't do a lot about it, and I just have to, you know, try and find the next local kid, which we've done again. I found three or four young kids this year, and it's took them 3 or 4 months to bed in. And I think they're getting better. These are all kids released by your Leicesters and Coventries down this end. So I'm just hoping the run continues. I think the young kids are learning and getting there. So can we stay in the top? Our aim is to always get in the top 10. And if we can stay around that, we'd be over the moon.
And in recent days as well, Barwell, you travelled up to Workington, you've travelled up to Lancaster City, and you've got good results at those venues far from home. This weekend must be good to be back home to take on Stalybridge Celtic. I don't mean to jinx it for you, Jimmy, but Stalybridge Celtic away form isn't the best. And above you, you've got some big teams playing one another, which means there's going to be some drop points above you. So you've got the potential to close the gap even further this weekend. They've said it.
Yeah, 100%. But I've been around too long, and I don't look at anyone above or below. I look up, we sort of like, can I get 48 points on the board, and that should be safety for Barwell again. I know there's only one team go down, so we're a long way away from that one team. But I do week to week at the moment, this time of the year, for about 2 months. And I do say to the lads, come out the back of February, we know where we are, don't we? Everybody knows. But yeah, Steve Burke, good old mate of mine. So we'll have a coffee and that before the game. Respect each other. The game up their place, 4-2 to Stalybridge, was fantastic. And if we can replicate that, then, you know, non-league fans hopefully go home happy. I mean, the guys that came down Saturday at Workington, I know the Workington fans were honest. They said we'd beat them fair and square, and what a good side we looked. And then Grantham as well. There's only 250 there, but they were leaving the ground saying, what a game of football. What a credit to non-league and Northern Premier. So you know, I'm happy at that we're entertaining the crowds.
What do you make of the competition in the middle of the table at the moment? Because there's a lot of sides there who, it's not just Barwell, it's your Stourbridges, it's your Buxtons, it's your Lancasters, it's your Nantwiches, who, if they do string the results together, could put a late surge on for the playoffs. And that's remarkable for coming into this final stage of the season, that there are so many teams who could put their hat in the ring. What do you make of it all?
Again, yeah, you've just said it. There's about five or six clubs with the games in hand on us, and you know, although we've sort of like nicked up into the top 11, you could find yourself two games time. You find yourself back in 15th. It's such a very tight league, and we can all beat each other. I think that's standing out of more that none of us managers probably go somewhere and think, well, we should get beat today, or can we get something today? We're all in the lap of the gods if as lads all perform. Put a good performance in. We can nick a result from top to bottom, but you can also lose that result. So, you know, I'd rather have the points on the board than two or three games in hand in this league, that's for sure.
Well, there we go. That's answered that question then. Well, Jimmy Ginnelly, keep up the good work. Manager at Barwell, big thank you for coming on the show. And when it gets really exciting in the next few weeks, we'll get you back on, no problem at all.
Brilliant, Ben. Thank you very much, pal.
So a big thank you to Jimmy Ginnelly, manager at Barwell, for joining us this week. And we should also mention as well, Fars Celtic. Fars Celtic, a 3-0 win against Buxton on Saturday. Good result there. But then he slipped up midweek at home to Matlock Town. Great result this for Matlock. 2-1 away win for Matlock Town at Throstle's Nest against Fars Celtic. Fars Celtic in sixth position now, on the same number of points as Warrington Town in fifth. However, Fars Celtic have played five games more. So they too are looking for snookers, it feels like, from the teams above them. And also, it's been a good week for Nantwich Town. And we're going to speak to Dave Cook in a second. Nantwich Town beating Lancaster City on Tuesday night away from home by 2-1. That's following up their 3-0 win against Lancaster City in the... Well, it's kind of weird them playing back-to-back like that, but five goals scored by Nantwich Town against Lancaster City over two games. Only one goal conceded. Good weekend for Nantwich. Well, let's discuss Nantwich Town a bit more in depth now. Obviously, that's two back-to-back wins there for Nantwich Town. And in fact, it's three wins on the bounce. So it seems a good time to bring back manager at Nantwich Town back to the show. Please welcome Dave Cook. So a happy new year to you, Dave, and welcome back to the show. Two cracking results there against Lancaster City. And I suppose it's a challenge, isn't it, to play the same team twice like that and get two positive outcomes.
It was like playing in Europe, Ben.
what did you make of the two games then against Lancaster?
Yeah, look, you look at Lancaster, they win the league last year and they're in the top sort of thing 12. I mean, I've got to say, what a great job the manager's done there. It's like any of us. If any of the lads go up, and our league is always strong because the teams that go up to the Conference North always seem to finish in the top six. And it's the same with Blyth Spartans and Spennymoor. They're doing well. You look Lancaster, like I just said, they've come up. They've had some cracking results. They're a decent team. So it was a good test for them. It wasn't a 3-0 game in the fact that we were miles on top. There wasn't a lot in the game at all. And we got noses in front at half time, and then we scored two quick goals midway in the second half, and that put the game to bed. And then going to there on Tuesday night, we know a little bit about them, they know a little bit about us. Again, we just produced the quality on the night to win the game.
And as I said in the introduction to this interview, that's three straight wins now for Nantwich Town. And it has put you in a strange position because you are 16th in the league table, but you're only 9 points from the playoffs. And obviously there's teams above you who are playing each other this weekend, and they're going to be taking points off one another, and that's going to continue throughout the remainder of the season. Where do you see Nantwich Town? Because it has been a kind of will you, won't you kind of season. And thus far, with all the games in hand, thanks to your cup runs and that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, look, what I said initially, you know, if we can finish halfway, considering we've got four players left at the end of last season, you've got to be happy. Now, we've got quite a young team, and the beauty of young players is that the majority of them will get better. And that is what's happened with... Troy Bourne was at Nantwich last year, but he went out on loan, and rightly so, because Phil Parkinson's back four was very strong. And he went to Alsager, and he was a lad that I pulled back, and he's just got keeps getting better and better and better. And he's, for the last four or five games, he's played centre-back, and he... And on that, I don't know whether his best position is going to be right back or centre back, but the lads, he was 20 a fortnight ago. I know a lot of clubs are looking at him now. So we have got a young team. So hopefully most of them will keep kicking on.
And that must be rewarding to watch as well, because like you say, it's a team that's developing all the time. And therefore, it's you must have in the back of your mind that this game against Witton Albion this weekend, which is, I suppose it's a bit of a derby, it's a pivotal one, this one, isn't it, to find out where Nantwich are at the moment.
Yeah, look, Witton have done like Lancaster. They come up last year by the playoffs. I went to that playoff final, which they won. They've done remarkable this season, and they've got some good players. You know, I think Rob Offley and Steve Thames are very, very, very good players in this league. You know, they went to Altrincham a fortnight ago and won there 4-2. So, it's good, like you say, Ben, it's going to be a hell of a test for us tomorrow, but that's something that we'll relish.
Well, Dave Cook, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come in on the show. And you keep up the good work, and I'm pretty sure when it gets really tense in the next few weeks, we'll get you back on, no problem at all.
Okay, Ben, thanks very much.
And finally, Colville Town 0, Stafford Rangers 0. And on that note, James, that was sees Colville into 14th. Same number of points now as Buxton and Stourbridge, 1 point ahead of Lancaster City in 15th. Stafford Rangers, they're in 18th position, 6 points behind Colville Town now. So it's starting to stretch out a bit in mid-table land as well, we have to say. But James Hayes, that's you done and dusted, my friend. Any final thoughts before we go?
No, I think more of this, the main thoughts now on for next week, and especially with some of the fixtures, not just in the Premier, but in the First Divisions as well, with the likes of South Shields Hyde. So there's quite a few top end table clashes this weekend that could again decide what happens later in the season. If you're going to get to a game, are you looking for a game, look at our fixture list this weekend, just pick them out straight away, because there is a few title deciding games there, I feel.
James, I haven't forgotten about Division 1 North, South Shields against Hyde United. And obviously there's Scarborough against Prescott Cables as well. Boom, everybody, boom. We will be covering them off shortly on this week's show, so I haven't forgotten. And not to forget Division 1 South, obviously, as well. There's Stamford against Basford United this weekend. That's a potential a big banana skin for Basford United. And Alf Church against Cleethorpes Town as well stands out by a country mile. Big games in both Division 1 North, Division 1 South, and, of course, the Premier. But James Hayes, enjoy your weekend covering it all, and we'll speak to you next week for the monthly show. Yes?
Yeah, always.
And a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. Just to say, we will be catching up with Swampy very, very shortly with a preview for all this weekend's matches in the NPL Premier Division. I should also add, we're also going to be catching up with the chairman at Romulus, Richard Evans, on the club's announcement this week that they'll be moving back to Castle Vale. But before we turn to Division 1 South, we're going to have a look at Division 1 North, and as James just alluded to there, there are some big matches taking place this weekend. We're going to be talking to Scarborough Athletic in a second as well about the growth at the club, as well as a Eurosport documentary that's about to air on that satellite channel. But before that, it's to Hyde United travelling up to the North East to take on South Shields this weekend. So sitting up at the top of Division 1 North at the moment, we've got South Shields just there, looking in the foreground, well, the background really, looking to get stuck in. It's Hyde United. And joining us now to get stuck into a good old-fashioned preview for this big match at the top of Division 1 North, we're now joined by 26-0's very own. It's Mr. Ian Burke. Hello, Burkey, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Ben, how are you?
I'm all good. It's because we're recording this interview at lunchtime, so it's all food-related and that kind of thing.
I've just had a nice chilli. Oh, which was really? Left over from last night. Oh, yeah, it's lovely. Very nice. Got a nice bit of chorizo in it. And, oh, yeah, no messing about.
And, well, speaking of no messing about, I've got to stop this speaking of business because it's poor, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hyde United travelling to South Shields this weekend. It is finally poised. 3 points the gap. It's, well, Hyde United are in fourth, but it's so close up at the top of Division One North, and this game's pivotal, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, four teams separated by 3 points. You've got Prescott Cables not too far behind either, but they've played a few games more, I suppose. But this is the game. It's not going to be a title decider. We'd get that out of the way straight off the bat. But if South Shields do win it, I mean, they've only got themselves to blame if they don't go on to win the league. But they've had a few wobbles recently. They've drawn a couple of games at home, including that goalless one against Tadcaster on Tuesday night, which, well, it was a bit of a surprise, let's face it, whereas Hyde, they've been steamrolling people at home. And it's quite strange when you look at it, really, because when a team's going great guns up the top of the table, you kind of expect the home form and the away form to be fairly similar, really. And in so much that Hyde have only lost one game all season, it kind of is from that perspective. But Hyde have won, I think it's 10 out of 12 at home. The other two have been draws, and one of them was dead unlucky as well, last-minute wonder goal. So it feels like when teams show up at Ewan Fields, they're already beaten, and it's just a matter of how many goals Hyde are going to score and beaten by. But away from home, away from the synthetic surface, they don't seem to quite have that same fluidity about them. And, all right, if you win your home games and draw your away games, you're not going to be too far away. And Hyde clearly aren't too far away at the moment. But they'll be disappointed with a few of those away draws. I mean, they were two goals up at Colne, for instance, in the game straight after the NK Dons match. They were beating Brighouse last week or a couple of weeks ago and conceded a very late equaliser there. So they've kind of turned victory into a draw, so they've kind of dropped a couple of points where they really should have won it. But then you look on the other side of it, and they were 2-0 down against Prescott Cables, and they weren't anywhere near the game, and then they came back and out of nowhere got a 2-2 draw out of it. So there is resilience there. They just need to see these away games out a little bit better, I think. And Saturday, it's so finely poised, isn't it? It's going to be a brilliant match, that.
And I'm going to bring Scarborough into this conversation as well, because a couple of weeks ago I would have suggested South Shields at home. I was a sure bet as Hyde United at home in many ways. But that 3-1 win for Scarborough at South Shields, it has opened things up somewhat. And it's South Shields at home. This is the right time to play them, I feel.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Ben. They are having a relative wobble.
Yes.
I mean, they've still only lost one game all my season, which isn't too shabby, is it? And they'll be wary of Hyde. Hyde are a very attacking unit, but then again, so are South Shields. They'll go for it. They don't just play the one way. They've got a few formations they can set up in. So it's going to be interesting how the two sides line up on Saturday. I think Hyde will probably go with the usual 4-2-3-1. But it's just really interesting. Hyde are scoring goals for fun at the minute. I mean, they've got Matty Beadle, he's well into double figures. Carl Jones, he's not too far behind. Don Marie, he's got near enough a goal a game since he come into the club. And then you've got Dave Brown, who is absolutely lethal from the bench. So Hyde have got plenty of attacking flair in there. They've also got the best defence in the division. So, I don't know. I'm really nervous about it, which won't surprise you at all. But if I do win, the door's not just open a little bit. I mean, it's blown the division wide open, as did the Scarborough game. But that's one thing, Scarborough and Hyde again. Ross Daly's moved from the Flamingoland Stadium. He's come over to Hyde United, and he's had an instant impact there. He was fantastic the other night against Mosley. He ran the show in midfield. And I just think he's going to be a great acquisition for the Tigers going into the second half of the season.
And obviously, South Shields following, there's going to be a big crowd here as well, Hyde United. And that does lead me on to my last question then, Birka. Obviously, you're famed for not going to that many away games. I think you did make the trip to Scarborough and you got rewarded by getting wet through. Are you going to this game? And more importantly, is 26-0 going to this game?
26-0 is going to the game. I'm going to an away game. But not one. That one. Because, no, I've got a really good excuse. It's Eleanor's birthday, you see. And for some reason, she wants to go to Leek for the weekend. Wow, okay. It's an unusual tourist destination, and all, but we really like the place, so we're going to go and watch Leek versus Chase Town instead.
That's an important game as well in Division 1 South.
Exactly.
So it's all happening. So 26-0, yeah. We'll be covering this game in South, at South Shields. And Chasetown against Leek, you'll be able to get autographs, not just of Berkey, but also of his better half. Mr. Ian Burke, thank you for joining us. All the best this weekend in both your games. And we'll speak to you soon. Thanks for coming on.
A pleasure as always, Ben.
We're going to stick with Division 1 North and Scarborough Athletic, as Scarborough Athletic are about to appear on Eurosport. For more on this now, we're now joined by the chairman at Scarborough. Please welcome to the show, Trevor Bull. So a happy new year to you, Trevor, and welcome to the show. Firstly, how did all this come about, this appearance on Eurosport? How's this all come about?
Well, they contacted us totally out of the blue and asked if they could do a piece on us. So we obviously said yes straight away.
Well, it's one of them. Scarborough is it's a fascinating story, and obviously this season it's the first time for a long time Scarborough played back in the town of Scarborough, and you know, Steve Kittrick's delivering on the pitch as well. The place is buzzing. So I suppose the question is, why wouldn't they want to see Scarborough?
Absolutely, because you think 10 years ago we didn't even have a club, so the club was formed 10 years ago. So in 10 years, suddenly. Suddenly, we're getting some global coverage, and I guess millions of people all over the world are going to get to know a little bit about Scarborough Athletic. And of course, being a holiday resort, and we're actually playing in a council-owned stadium, the council are delighted with the coverage that we're getting, because it sort of gives them a bit of payback, because what Eurosport did was they took some very good footage of the town itself and the beach and the harbour and everything else, so really, really set the scene well.
Well, yeah, sounds like you need to get the Scarborough Tourist Board involved then.
don't you worry, we've got them involved.
Excellent stuff. So when is this gonna air, and how can it be watched by?
It's going out on Eurosport 2 next Wednesday. I think that it goes out three times on the day, and I think that it rolls 8:30 in the morning, 4:30, and 6:30.
Brilliant stuff. And obviously, as we touched upon there, Scarborough back in Scarborough now. Steve Kittrick's built a squad that's competing up at the top. What have you made of the season thus far? Because it is very competitive. I'd say you're involved in a promotion race with about 10 other clubs, I'm going to suggest.
Oh, it's a nightmare. I have to look at the league table with some urgency after every game. But as a season, if you'd have asked me at the start of the season, what sort of a season would you have wanted? I wouldn't have wanted for anything much different to the one we've got, because we needed to re-engage the people of Scarborough to come in to watch live football. We've done that. You know, testimony for the crowds again. We had a County Cup match on Tuesday night. We got over 1,000 people down for that. So the people of the town are engaged. Yeah, the cup run helped. Then, of course, the league position is fantastic. But it's going to be one hell of a fight to the end of the season. You know, we're playing Prescott on. Yeah. On Saturday, they've come from nowhere. We've played Shields twice. We've played Hyde twice. So I guess they're good ones to get out of the way. But no, there's I reckon it's the top five teams at the moment. I think it'll be the promotion places will come out of those five, and we're hoping that we're going to be one of them.
And obviously, like we said, it's the Flamingoland Stadium, first season in there. You're already, yeah. I've seen in the press, already talks about expanding it. And obviously, occasions like this match against Prescott Cables, the games against Hyde and South Shields, as you said, there's a lot of support for the club. And so, I guess it's why wouldn't you want to expand the stadium?
Yeah, we're keen to expand the stadium as quickly as possible. Because whilst the stadium holds the required 2,000 people, it doesn't give 2,000 people a really great matchday experience, because the sight lines aren't fantastic. Once you get 1,000, 1,200 people in there, it's difficult. So we're looking to put extra seats in, an extra terrace in, and some extra disabled places, because we seem to have an awful lot of fans wanting to get in with wheelchairs, which is fantastic, but we need to provide good facilities for them.
And obviously, we've spoke to Steve Kittrick, and we've had Will Baines on a few times, and we know what the ambition of Scarborough is. It's to climb up the non-league pyramid as sustainably as possible. All going to plan so far for yourself, Trevor?
Well, it is. I mean, the key thing is sustainability, because I said from day one that we won't spend money we can't afford. But because of the crowd, we're able to put a better team on the pitch. I said to the people of Scarborough at the start of the year, you will decide how good the team is, because the more of you come, the more we can spend on players. And so I thank the people of Scarborough for delivering on what we asked them, and we're trying to deliver for them now.
Well, you keep up the good work, Trevor. Thanks for coming on. And just to mention, just to mention again, one last plug for this Eurosport 2 coverage on Wednesday next week.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely worth watching. I think, really bizarrely, we are the last 5 minute segment, so it's the great and the good of world football, and then Scarborough Athletic, which is a little bit bizarre, but we welcome it. We really do.
No, you're in that bracket too. No problem.
Thank you. Very kind, Ben. You're very kind.
It's true, though. Well, Trevor, thanks for coming on, mate. Keep up the good work, and when we're talking about playoffs and promotion and that kind of thing towards the end of the season, I'm sure we'll get you back on. But you keep up the good work.
It's a pleasure, Ben. Thanks for the call. Bye now.
And a big thank you to Trevor Bull, chairman at Scarborough Athletic, for joining us this week. And we're just going to look at Division 1 South, and in particular, Romulus. Romulus have been bottom of Division 1 South now for ages, but recently they've had a good set of results. And also, news has broke this in the past couple of days that the club will be leaving Coles Lane, which they share with Sutton Coldfield Town, and moving to a new venue at Castle Vale. And joining us now to discuss this move, as well as Romulus's upturn in form, we're now joined by chairman and joint manager, it's Richard Evans. So happy new year to you, Richard, and welcome to the show. This is cracking, exciting news for the club. How far down the planning has this been?
Been going on for a few months now. We've been in talks with Castle Vale Stadium, the owners, and also Sutton Coldfield Town, obviously where we ground share at the moment, and it's all been more or less rubber stamped now. The league have been out to have a look, some minor things to do, but it's a fabulous stadium, and we're looking forward to it.
What's this going to mean then for Romulus to, because obviously been sharing with Sutton Coldfield now for a few seasons, what's this going to mean for the club going forward?
Yeah, I think we've been at Sutton probably 13, 14 seasons now, and it's difficult being, you know, where you can't take potential sponsors into Sutton's ground to sponsor you, because they might as well sponsor Sutton. You can't really build a great fan base there because it's Sutton's ground. You can't. There's a lot of things you can't do, which we're hoping we can do at the new ground. What I will say is Sutton were absolutely fantastic to us over them years, and considering we've been in the same, you know, in competition with each other for a lot of the time, we've got on brilliantly. So whoever moves into Sutton is lucky. They've got a good landlord there.
Now, obviously, as the chairman, you've been probably concentrating on this a lot. But what's it going to mean for the club when it comes to, like you said, building the fan base, building pathways for junior football? Because you used to play in this neck of the woods a long time ago, didn't you?
We was at Castle Vale Stadium for a season when we first went Saturdays. But as for the club itself, I think the league, they were quite impressed with our training ground, which probably people don't know about in the Northern Premier League. We've got an academy ground, which is absolutely excellent facilities. So alongside that now, we'll have a ground, a first team ground as well. There'll be a few envious clubs in the respect of we've got a training ground, which is, you know, which is owned by us. And then we've got a long lease of our own ground. So it's all good news. Obviously, we're renowned for our academy and what we've done with, you know, the players who have gone pro. Yeah, we've got a full-time academy, so it all enhances it, really. I think a lot of people don't know what goes on at Romulus, but we're building even more now, so it's good.
And that's what we're all headed towards, aren't we? You're going to be in one spot, and this is really going to kick the club along the road, isn't it, in a big way?
Yeah, it will. It's a big thing for us. We've got to take care of this season first, because it's been a traumatic season, really, which we're not used to.
That's a good segue to leave on to my next question, Richard. That's obviously the form in the league, and for a while now, Romulus have been rooted to the bottom of the table, but in recent games, it has been close, though, down towards the end of Division 1 South. There's not been much separating much of the sides, but Romulus have been on a decent run in recent weeks, and it's come at the right time, hasn't it?
Well, it's down to hard work. To be honest, we've never been... I think we've been in this standard 10 years, 10 seasons now. We finished below mid-table twice, so we're not used to this. We were 7 points adrift at Christmas time, and it looked pretty doom and gloom, but we've got a lot of battlers at the club. A lot of people have been here a long time. We've had a little bit of help come in as well on the management side, which has been massive. To myself, because I also manage the team. Yeah. I've been manager here for 900 games plus. So it's a massive plus that we had. Neil Tooth came in and helped us massively with an influx of new players. And then we've had Dale Balfour, who's got experience of over 100-plus conference games at Tamworth. So really, yeah, we're a club going at the moment one way.
And we had Kev Moore on last week from Switch Radio, and he was talking about Neil Tooth. Obviously, Neil Tooth's gone to Sutton Coldfield. It's been a good relationship between the two clubs over the seasons. But Sutton Coldfield, they're rooted to the bottom of the table. But Romulus started to get themselves out of it. This weekend, Romulus, you're travelling to Stocksbridge Park Steels. Tough game, that one, though, isn't it, on paper?
Yeah, they're all tough. They're all tough, ain't they, when you're down the bottom, they seem to be a lot tougher as well. But we fancy our chances anywhere at the moment. I think in the last nine games, we lost one at Alf Church in the 96th minute. Game of two halves there, we was outplayed first half, and then second half, they didn't have a kick, so we recovered well there. But I think we've conceded nine goals in nine games, which for non-league is decent. So, yeah, we're looking forward to any game at the moment.
And
got into the semi-finals of the Walsall Senior Cup the other night. So all good.
And finally then, Richard, what's the next steps then with the move to Castlevale? What needs to happen next?
We need to promote it. We need to let people know we're there, which we'll do. We also need to, I think, finance the first team a little bit more than we have in the past and not just rely on youth, along with some good sponsorships that we've been promised. And just like we have over the years, I think we've been 19 years. I've been with them Saturdays. In Saturday football, and we've just worked harder than as hard as anybody else, and that's what it's about, really.
Well, Richard Evans, chairman at Romulus, a big thank you for taking time out your busy day to come on the show. Onwards and upwards at the club, and you keep up the good work.
Hopefully, all good. Yeah, thanks very much.
Richard Evans there from Romulus, and look out next week for a full look at Division 1 as the monthly Division 1 show will be coming your way on this very channel. But just before we get to the fixture preview for the Premier Division this weekend, we're now going to go back to Scarborough, and the Scarborough and District Sports Awards are taking place very soon. And at this stage, we should be congratulating the radio station and the press team at Whitby Town. The club's radio station, Whitby Town Radio, and Seasiders press officer Paul Connolly have both been nominated for Volunteer of the Year at the annual regional award ceremony. And joining me now to discuss this award more in depth and just how glorious Whitby Town Radio is, we're now joined by the Paul Connolly. So welcome to the show, Paul, and a big Happy New Year to you. And it is a Happy New Year. This is great, this award nomination. How does it feel?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, to be honest. It's an honour to even be nominated. And when I got the email through, I never expect to see both my name and Whitby Town Radio's name on there, but somehow we've managed to get nominated, and it should be, hopefully, a fantastic night, and fingers crossed we can pick up a winner.
Well, the thing is about Whitby Town Radio is it goes home and away. We saw you at Altrincham early in the season, and it's a cracking listen, and not always about the game, but I think that's important when it comes to covering non-league matches. You need that flexibility to go off piste, as it were. What do you think it's all down to, the your nomination for Whitby Town Radio?
To be honest, I just think a lot of it's down to the hard work of what is a fantastic media team at Whitby Town. Obviously, we've got, there's myself there, there's Andrew Snaith as well, there's Liam Lee and Yvonne and Matty as well. And obviously, it's all backed by our manager, Chris Hardy, as well, who's very very keen on the media side of things. So I think it comes down to that sort of hard work and the dedication for us to get up at, half past six on the morning to travel down to Stourbridge in December or the likes of that. So I think it comes down to that. But as well, it comes down to our listeners, because at the end of the day, they're the people who we're doing it for. We're not doing it for ourselves or anything. We are purely doing it for them, to keep them up to date with the club and to keep them all, informed of what's going on a match day. And, without them, then there's no radio station.
Just to say about what you said there about what Chris Hardy thinks of the station and what it brings to Whitby Town. Obviously, I'm a keen admirer of internet radio and what it can bring to non-league football clubs. What do you think it's brought to Whitby Town having a glorious radio station at the club?
Personally, I think it's brought a new level of support. Maybe it's not within the ground, but I think across the world, some of the places we get listeners in regularly now is ridiculous. We've got supporters over in Australia and everywhere across the world. We get people in America and everything. So I think it's brought a level of awareness to Whitby Town Football Club and awareness of Whitby Town Football Club where it perhaps wasn't there beforehand. Obviously, everyone knows the sort of rich heritage of Whitby, but not so many people know about the football club there. So it's nice to be able to bring that to listeners across the world and hopefully on the back of that develop a unique fan base.
Now, on this week's show, we've got Swampy coming on shortly from FC Radio. We've already had Ian Burke on from 26-0. Internet radio has been prevalent now in football and in the non-league world for a number of seasons now. But it's more a case of, I don't think there's enough internet radio, and I think people are put off by the technology side of it, as well as maybe the suspicion that people would rather stay at home and listen to Andrew Snaith than actually attend. Firstly, the technical side of things, how easy is it to do an online radio station, and then kind of dispel that myth about taking attendances off the gate?
I mean, first things first, I certainly wouldn't be one to sit at home and listen to Andrew, but each to their own. Sorry, Goose. But no, I think there is obviously a lot of suspicion around it and things like that, but I think it's becoming a lot easier than people think it is to set this up. And since we started at Whitby, we've seen no, you know, downward effect on the gates as per. But I just think it's a case of people taking a bit of a leap of faith and looking at the technology, which is, again, as I say, it's becoming easier and easier. I'm seeing apps now where you can sort of commentate live from any game just using your phone. So I think it's a great thing for clubs to embrace and to look towards if they've got the people to do it, because at the end of the day, there's nothing stopping you from putting your club out to the world and being advertised to the world, which we've done at Whitby. And to be honest, it's going to have more benefits in the long run than it is, you know, negative effect.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's the exposure side of things. You're keeping supporters engaged in the football club, even when they can't make it. And that means for the big games, those listeners that you're talking about, maybe from America and even as far afield as Australia, I've seen it with FC Radio. If you get a good FA Cup run or an FA Trophy run, those people will actually bother to make the trip, which I suppose they wouldn't have done if it wasn't for the radio station. So you keep up the good work, Paul. And I should say as well, with the likes of Facebook Live now freely available, it's never become more easier, I think, to do this kind of thing. So, Paul, a big good luck. When what's the do and when's it taking place?
Yeah, it's the Scarborough District Sports Awards. It's at the Scarborough Spa on Monday, Monday the 26th of February, and it's a 7 o'clock start for that one.
Well, a big best of luck to you, Paul, and everyone at Whitby Town Radio. You do a superb job, not just for Whitby Town, but for the league, because it's not just exposure to Whitby Town you bring in this weekend. You'll be travelling to Hensford, I'm assuming, so Hensford Town fans from further afield will be able to keep up to date with what's going on at that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that one, actually. And I'm going to very boldly predict that with Whitby's away form, we might just sneak a win there.
Well, there you are. You've heard it here first. Paul Connolly from Whitby Town Radio, big thanks for joining us. Keep up the good work and good luck at the awards. A big thank you there to Paul Connolly from Whitby Town Radio. Congratulations for their award nomination and good luck in that award ceremony there on the east coast of North Yorkshire. But joining us now is another award winner. It's Swampy from the Non-League Football Show. Hello, Swampy. How are you?
Yeah, good afternoon, Ben. How are you?
I'm all good. What award have you won?
I've been awarded the... Ben, I haven't been awarded anything, in fairness. I've been up for a couple of awards. Mm. There's no point in lying to the listener.
No, there isn't.
They can see through our ruse. There's the, you know, we're not on a par with you know, Whitby Town Radio or Blyth Spartans Radio. So, you know, I know where I am, where I sit in the radio stakes of the world. So I'm just happy to be on this show every now and then and do my own little thing. But it is a privilege even to be on this show this afternoon amongst the greats of Whitby Town and the likes of yourself.
Thank you very much. So speaking of the greats, this weekend there's some marvellous fixtures taking place, and there is only one place we can start. That's to Moss Lane, where Altrincham take on Warrington. It's got a bit touch and go for Warrington in the playoffs. They obviously haven't played for a good while in the league. There's some teams clambering around them towards the lower end of the playoff places. They do have games in hand, though. For Altrincham, they've got their own problems. Shaw Lane have kicked into gear.
Yeah, I mean Warrington are in a good position currently. They've done very, very well in the FA Trophy, and they're getting players back at the right time as well, which is something that they struggled at the beginning of the season with a number of players out through injury, and they're in a good position. They're fighting on a number of fronts, which is always good. So games are coming thick and fast for them, so they can keep that momentum going. And it'll be a tough ask for Altrincham against an informed Warrington Town team. But the thing about Altrincham is that they are at the moment on firing on all cylinders. They are top draw. They brought some players in over the December from a higher division, in the likes of Gray, obviously, who had been with Nantwich prior to moving to Southport. So you know very well to the manager, and he's slotted in very, very well. They've brought a couple of players from Stockport County. They've been on loan and doing well. And Altrincham are the team to beat, really, I think, this season. And it's going to be, as you say, an absolute cracking game of football. I think Warrington will go there with no real fear. They'll just want to keep doing what they're doing. Paul Cardon will go there with a great mindset and get his players focused. But I think for me personally, I can see it being a really, really good game of football. Two teams going at each other, but I can see an Altrincham win by about 2-1.
Right, so prediction as well, dear listener. I didn't even ask for a prediction. He nailed it there, didn't he? Shaw Lane, though, I've got their own big game this weekend, and that's against Ashton United. And we talked about Shaw Lane kicking into gear with two excellent results over the past 7 days. Ashton United, they've really put the pedal down in recent weeks into the playoff positions now. They've got games in hand over the likes of Grantham Town. They're only 10 points behind Alty, and they've got a game in hand over Alty as well. This game is a tough one for both sides. Shaw Lane against Ashton United, Swamper.
It definitely so. I mean, Ashton United have done tremendously well. They've carried on playing throughout the season, slowly but surely, and they are where they are through merit. They've got good goal scorers in the team. They've got a good work ethic, and you go to Hurst Cross, it's a tough ground to go to. And they're on merit, as you rightly say. They've got a couple of games in hand, so those games can take them further up in the division. It'll be a cracking game. And as with Shaw Lane, as we know, the manager left for Boston earlier in the season. He's doing tremendous work at Boston. But Well and Shaw Lane are a team that were there last season, there before, the season before, and they're a hard team and a hard team at home to beat. They've had a couple of up and down results in recent weeks, but I think this is a game which has got goals for me all over it. Now, I'm not saying that'll be a 0-0 boring draw, but it's a game at Ashton I feel have to win with their game in hand, but I can see Shaw Lane trying to cement that second spot, and I think possibly it could be a Shaw Lane victory, and I think it'll be goals in it. I think it could be about 3-2 to Shaw Lane, but it'd be a very tight encounter.
And if Shaw Lane have got any title aspirations, we know they've got two games coming up against Altrincham. But at the moment, they're 7 points behind Altrincham. They've got two games in hand, so they have to win those two games in hand for those matches to matter. Right, let's look at Grantham Town. You mentioned games in hand. Grantham Town are the ones who played more than anyone else in the playoff positions at the moment. They've got a game against Stourbridge. Is it going to happen for Stourbridge? It doesn't look like it, does it, at the moment?
Well, I mean, Grantham played 28 games so far this season. They're scoring goals for fun. They're playing attractive football. They're at home. It's a big, expansive pitch. Stourbridge, yeah, they're 39 points. It's a big ask of them. But we know the one thing about them is that they have and the potential to do it. They've done it in the past. They've had lots of games in hand. When they've been, riding high in the FA Cup over the last few seasons. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility at all for Stourbridge. But I think tomorrow against Grantham, it'll be a good game of football again, as we know, most games in this division are played on the deck. Good quality football. I've got a feeling it'll be. I think a possible draw for me tomorrow. I think the two teams, the Sourbridge, need to win, so they'll be going for it. Grantham Town got great goal scoring within the team, especially with Shaw. I can see it being a 2-2 draw, or possibly a 3-3 draw. But I can't see either team going out and conventionally winning that game. So I'm going to put it down as a draw.
Now, we are going to be catching up with Workington and Warrington Town in the lead-up to the FA Trophy next week. But Workington this weekend, they've fallen out of the playoff positions. They've got that game against Sutton Coldfield Town, which I think is probably... Is that the first league game for Neil Tooth in charge? I think it probably is. And we've also got Farnsley Celtic. They'll be travelling to Michelover Sports. And it's not completely out of the question for Michelover Sports. Unbeaten now in 5 games. Farnsley Celtic, they did have that 3-0 win against Buxton on Saturday, but then lost midweek to Matlock Town. These are important games for Farnsley Celtic and for Workington.
They are indeed. Let's just start with Workington first and foremost. A team that have been in and around the playoffs. They came up slowly, didn't they? And everyone, when we did the Northern Premier League show, so where did they come from? It was a team that I fancied at the beginning of the season, a team that I still believe have the capabilities of being able to continue to get into that playoff position. Sutton Coldfield is a new manager. Did he get that first game, get something out of the players and get a great result against Workington? I can't see it initially, to be honest. I think Sutton Coldfield at this moment in time, a lot of work in progress and good luck to them. But I can only see a Workington victory there and 2-0 for them, I would suggest. Should be a comfortable afternoon, really, for Workington. But as far as the Celtic is concerned, Michelover, you say Michelover, not lost in 5. Farsley, though, a team that won against Buxton and then were beaten midweek. But I still fancy Farsley to, they've got some goal scorers in that team, haven't they? I can see Farsley making amends for the midweek blip and going away to Michelover and winning by 2-1.
And we should say Farsley Celtic, second highest goal scorers in the league.
Sorry,
third. I missed off Grantham. I do apologise, Grantham. Right, let's talk about Hensford Town. Hensford Town in 8th position, 2 points from the playoff positions. They played 4 games more than Warrington Town. They played 2 games more than Ashton United. And they played it remarkably. They've even played a game more than Grantham Town have as well. But their points on the board are there. 2 points from the playoffs this weekend. They'll be hosting Whitby Town. Whitby Town, who've had a decent week, 2 draws unbeaten in the last 2 games, including a draw against Shaw Lane and that 3-0 draw against Rush Olympic in their last outing. Hensford Town, Rob Smith's been here before with them. They know what they're doing.
They do, yeah. And Rob's come in and he's certainly steady the ship. I think we talked, didn't we? I think I got laughed at earlier this part of the season through the NPL show, yeah, saying that, Hensford, not a chance. But you know what? It's interesting. I mean, there's 10 teams. It's down to 10th, really, isn't it, in the NPL at this moment in time, where you can make a charge and get into those playoff positions. Hensford have done very well in recent weeks. And they... I think it's going to be a very, very tight game against Whitby. I say 2 draws for Whitby. And Whitby are a team that have been up and down all season. They've had no real consistency. However, tomorrow, I mean, I think it's going to be a tight game. Great football pitch, cracking ground. I can see, I mean, both of them actually have got cracking grounds, don't get me wrong. Hensford, as at home, I think the surface, good quality surface. I think they'll sneak it I think it'd be 1-0.
We obviously heard from Dave Cook earlier as well at Nantwich Town. Nantwich Town, you think they're out of it, and then all of a sudden they get a good result, and then you think, oh, can they do it? It's 9 points to the playoffs for Nantwich. They've obviously played a fair few games more than Warrington Town, and they've played a game more than Ashton United. But, you know, we're into the closing straight now, and stranger things have happened. Witt and Albion, they're borderline contenders as well for the players. Currently sitting in 9th, 6 points from the player positions, but they played a game more than everyone else. This one, is this a knockout blow for whoever loses this game?
Well, you've pretty much said what I was thinking myself. I was thinking, I think whoever wins this game, it's perhaps playoffs. I can see a Witten win, 3-2, a really exciting game of football. And I think that will put an end to perhaps Nantwich's dreams of maybe getting into those playoffs. But
so winner stays on is what we're saying, basically.
Brilliant, yeah. Well, winner, yeah, or winner takes all.
Thanks, Wampa. We obviously heard from Jimmy Ginnelly as well earlier, and at this point we're going to talk about the playoffs for one last team, I think, and then we're going to turn our eyes to relegation, because it's Barwell against Stalybridge Celtic this weekend. Barwell, 7 points from the playoffs. They have played a fair few games more than Warrington Town, 5 games more than Warrington, but an outside bet for the playoffs still. For Stalybridge Celtic, it's 4 points from the relegation zone with 6 games in hand. Big game, this one, for both clubs.
Yeah, I mean, Ginnelly, you'll be looking at this team and he won't take Stalybridge Celtic lightly. You know, he knows the quality of within that squad at Stalybridge. He also knows the manager's got pedigree and knows what he's doing. It's just not really clicked at all for Stalybridge this season for some reason. And for that reason, I mean, I'm looking at Barwell and I think Stalybridge will be looking at this game, but I don't think it's one of those games with all the games at hand that they've got are going to get them out of the mire. I think Barwell should comfortably win this game, at least by 3-1. And Stalybridge will be then left with the games in hand against other teams that are going to save them this season, I think.
We've also got Lancaster City against Hales Owen, and obviously with Sutton Coldfield hosting Workington, it's at Sutton Coldfield. Sutton Coldfield are always good at their place at Coles Lane. There's a chance here that Sutton Coldfield could put a surprise on the board and start to put the pressure on Stalybridge Celtic, and if they're doing that, then surely they're putting pressure on Hales Owen. Hales Owen have got a tough away trip to the Giant Axe to take on Lancaster City, who I think, I don't say this because it's only 9 points, but is the playoffs beyond Lancaster City now? Ooh, I don't know.
Listen, I mean, as we say, it's so tight. It's down to, you know, there's ten teams that could be competing for, you know, 2 or 3 spots, and you know, Lancaster City could well be one of them. I think it's a game that Lancaster will fancy tomorrow. I think it's a game that they on paper should win. I think. We all know that games aren't won on paper, but they are won on they are won on 3G nowadays, aren't they? Yeah. Which, you know, on plastic, yeah. I can only see a Lancaster City win against Hales Owen, to be honest. And I think whilst Hales Owen are being defeated and Sutton Coldfield are being defeated, I don't think it's going to be much change at the bottom, in all fairness.
Now, there's a couple of mid-table matches as well. Marine against Rushall Olympic. We've also got, where's the other one that I was looking at? Stafford Rangers against Matlock Town. All four clubs, I'm going to suggest, have had a transitional season. They're in mid-table. I think where Marine were a couple of months ago, I think they'll be happy with the way things have turned out. They have got games in hand, but they're not completely out of it, are they, Marine?
No, I think... Their FA trophy exploits were excellent, you know, getting beat just by Dover, and you know, they were dead and buried, and they came back and you know, 3-2. I think they would have liked to have maybe have been able to continue in that competition, simply because it keeps the momentum going and it breeds a team that have real belief. And they saw that after they beat FC United earlier in the season in that trophy, they actually started to get a bit of momentum going in the league form. They aren't safe, not 100% safe. They'll need, I think, at least three to five more victories in order to feel comfortable for the rest of the season. Not out of it yet, Marine, but I firmly believe they will with, you know, a few more results. But I think tomorrow will probably be a draw.
And lastly, but not leastly, we've got Buxton against
Lastly, not but leastly. I like that.
But not leastly. 13th against 14th. And if we described, I think it was Witten Albion against Nantwich was winner stays on. Surely Buxton against Colville this weekend, that too is winner stays on.
Yeah, I think so. And it's also pretty determined where you holiday next season. I think both teams... I've been looking to just try and get a little bit of momentum for the rest of the season, a little bit of continuity, a little bit of quality. And it'll be a game where, you know, both teams will go at each other. I can see a Buxton victory tomorrow, 2-0 against Colville Town. But I think both teams, as I say, but winner stays on for both of them regardless.
Well, Swampit, a big thank you for coming on. Job well done. Good luck this weekend in whatever game you're covering. I can't think what game you'll be covering. It's not like we work together or anything like that.
No.
But it's actually, joking aside, it's FC United against Curzon, an MPL landmark fixture from seasons gone by. That's taking place in the National League North. So enjoy the match, and we'll speak to you next week for the monthly show.
I will indeed. And just a quick plug, if that's okay, on the national show, the non-league show, we've got hopefully lots for the people to discuss. So we're talking Northern League, Step 4. We've got a team, actually, as well, that have won the league. This week, they've won the league already in January. A team have won the league. A team that have won the league by 11 points already at this stage of the season. They've conquered the division and they're being promoted.
The non-league show, that's available on Audio Boom from... It's normally out on Thursday evening, Thursday overnight. You'll be able to get it on Friday morning. And obviously the MPL show, you already know when it's out, but normally it's out about 6 o'clock-ish in the evening. So you can download both podcasts and enjoy them on your way to your match on Saturday. Swampy, thanks for coming on the show, mate. And
all the best.
We'll
good luck to all the teams. Good luck to all the teams and all the supporters. Have a safe journey to wherever you're going, and say good luck to all the players and all the managers.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests for joining me on this action-packed MPL show this week. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest news and goings-on in the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the league website. That's at evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. Next week, we'll be back at the Heating Hop with our monthly discussion show. There'll also be a monthly Division 1 show out as well. But that's it for this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests this week. Too many to mention. You know who you are, but you're all lovely. And we hope that you, dear listener, thank you for tuning in. I've also enjoyed this week's show. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend, to cheer on your EvoStick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.